Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Underhood Show, presented by Mel Hamilton Ford. My name's Nightingale. I'm the general manager, and Josh Prophet, our service director. Morning, Josh.
Good morning.
And we got a special guest in the house, Kyle Smith. Kyle, thanks for hanging out with us for this hour.
Thanks for having me on, guys. I appreciate it.
But most importantly, congratulations on your big win.
Thank you.
Pretty huge there, buddy. So excited when I got the phone call about your situation, and I was excited to have you on our show. So everybody, it's a call-in show. Let's get the phones ringing. Normally, it's something ailing your car, tires, brakes, batteries, or what you don't understand about your car. But today, it's about Kyle. It's about what happened down in Texas and everything else. And if you got any questions on how Kyle does his job and does his work, whatever it is about that race car, you got anything about drag racing whatsoever, I bet Kyle can answer that questions and get a great price package for each and every caller. It's valued over $130 for that. And I know it's the only show you know you get paid to call in on. So let's get the phones ringing. 316-462-3673. Josh, as always, what do they get for calling in and asking Kyle a question?
So we're going to send it out to you, but it's going to consist of the works, which is an oil change and tire rotation. We use Motorcraft oil and filter products here at Mel Hamilton Ford. While we're performing that, we're also going to complete a multi-point inspection on your vehicle, checking over the brakes, tires, steering, suspension, all the safety-related components on the vehicle, making sure it's geared up and ready to go for that next 5,000 miles of driving. You'll also receive $10 to Mel's Diner so you can get yourself something to eat and drink while you're here with us at the Big Corner, as well as complete nitrogen for your tires so you get all the great benefits that nitrogen has to offer, and then a BG products package, which is going to consist of a can of MOA, motor oil additive for your engine oil, and then for CF5 for the fuel system. Again, just getting that vehicle geared up and ready to go for that next 5,000 miles of driving.
All right, 316-462-3673. Anything ailing your car, tires, brakes, batteries, but most importantly, let's get some questions for Kyle here and help answer some other situations of drag racing. So, Kyle, I know I told you this on the phone already, and I think I did a little pre-deal back in the – I used to work in Topeka at a Pontiac Cadillac store, and we would clear off the whole lot and bring in the – when they would come up for the NHR drag deal, and we had all the – Brad Anderson was up there, Ricky Smith, can't think of the other guys' names. We put all their cars on the showroom floor. I went to the airport in Kansas City and picked up Don Prudhomme. Got to ride and bring him in.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. And so I had some great pit passes. I had too. I could roll right in the pits and park right where I wanted and everything. And I remember watching Dale Worsham there, him and his dad, working out of a low budget deal, just a dually, and that was it. And he was close to winning then. But you went down there and smoked him up. So congratulations.
Well, thank you.
And so those of you that don't know, Kyle's born and raised right here in Wichita. How long have you been racing, buddy?
Honestly, I've been driving our funny car now about 3 years. Grew up watching my dad race. He started out running alcohol funny cars. And then kind of towards the end, transitioned over to pro mods. And I had the opportunity to make a few passes in the pro mod. And we talked about maybe going forward with that, but you know, he was kind of getting tired of driving, and I was more leaning towards a funny car. So when the opportunity came up, you know, we found this funny car deal, and I was excited to kind of follow in his footsteps. Yeah. And continue to live the funny car dream and kind of pursue that. So yeah, this is really our third year competing. So still relatively new when you think about some of the big guys that are doing it, you know, the Sean Bellamires, the Annie Whiteleys, the Bob McCoshes, the Doug Gordons, you know, these guys are seasoned veterans, you know, 20 yeah. plus years. So, so, you know, for our team to continue to build on the successes we've had over the last 3 years, you know, last year, we beat Bob McCosh at the Great Bend Regional. Bob ended up finishing fourth in the national points.
Yep.
So pretty kind huge. Of, you know, kind of a surprise to people, but I think, you know, we're just continuing to build on it and looking for bigger things in the future. So
very cool. So anyway, Kyle, it's 3 years in, a funny car, you know, I know what that is.
I was going to say
a lot of listeners don't probably know what a funny car is.
Okay.
Kind of describe, I know the listeners are looking, can hear, but they can watch us here on Facebook and YouTube live too, and stuff like that. But a funny car is, it's a big car.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so it's kind of built on a chassis unique to the body itself. It's a 125-inch wheelbase specific for the body, like I said. And then the funny car, like you said, it started out, it was kind of a funny car, you know, mm-hmm. the shape and, you know they've transformed over time. And it, as of recently, kind of started more looking like your Camaros or your Mustangs with right. the emblems and things like that. So,
but okay, so it's 125-inch wheelbase.
Yep.
The slicks on the back are how big?
We run the 36s, so like 16 or 17 by 36s. So.
36 wide, right?
Yeah.
So it's a little tire.
Yeah.
36 inches of rubber hanging back there. And the motor, let's go through the motor a minute. It's a big old V8, but how big is it?
Yeah, so ours is a 521 cubic inch V8, spaced after your stock 426 Hemi. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously over time, things have progressed, and it's a billet block, billet heads, billet intake. So pretty much, you know, the really refined deal, you know, these things last for a long time if you know, take care of them and do the proper things. And
proper maintenance, proper tuning, and all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
So then it puts out about, have you ever dynoed, or you got an idea what it puts out?
We've never dynoed it, but our combination with 92 over on the blower, we figure about 3,500 horse. So
just a little bit of horse.
Just a small amount.
The inertia just to hit that thing. Do you know how many G forces you're actually pulling from the start?
Typically, we see about 3+ G's on it.
Three plus G's.
So you think as fast as it accelerates, then you got to decelerate.
Yeah.
When you throw a couple chutes at the end. So, you know, it tries to throw you out of the seat when you drop the parachute. So it's quite the ride.
Well, I bet it is too. So.
And you think our car is kind of different. There's no suspension.
Really?
So you feel everything on the racetrack, everything in the pits. It, you know, when I first rode in one and was getting towed around, I told Dad, I said, this thing feels like it's falling apart, you know, because I'd been in a Pro Mod, which has shocks and struts, and it's a very smooth ride. It's like we talked about, it's like a Lamborghini versus a Pinto type of ride. I mean, it's substantially different, but that's kind of what I like about the Pro Mod, or the funny car is, you know, you kind of got to manhandle it to drive it. It's truly, where the Pro Mod was very easy to drive, you know, had a nice rack and pinion, just very kind of just went down the racetrack. But this thing, you really got to get up on the wheel. And if it's making a move, you better get on the wheel and get it off the center line or off the,
So now you're running the 8th mile, correct?
We do a little bit of both.
A little bit of both, okay.
So the Funny Car KS that we just competed in is an 8th mile format.
Yep.
And then we run another series called the Midwest Drag Racing Series, which kind of stays in the Midwest, has Pro Mods, Top Sportsman, Top Dragster, and a pretty nice series. It's an 8th mile format as well. And then any NHRA stuff we do is all quarter mile. So typically when we, you know, this last weekend, we did run 8th mile, but we pretty much had our quarter mile tune up in. We were kind of using it as a test session for future NHRA races later in the year. So for us, we typically don't change our combination a lot for both. You know, there are some guys that will, you know, they'll make gearing changes and things like that. But for us, you know, we kind of want to continue to build. And like I said, the NHRA deal is quarter mile. So
now how fast are we going? So let's get, so our listeners can realize how fast you are going. It's that 8th mile, then Texas that you won, you went how fast?
So in 660 feet, I traveled 3.61 seconds at 211 miles an hour.
Good night.
So,
and then you got to shut it back down for that 211.
Exactly.
Yeah. Now, so then how fast will you go in a quarter?
So in a quarter mile, we've been like 5.5 seconds and I've been about 263 miles an hour.
Can I just try it once?
I was going to say, you can detune it, you can whatever, but we got to get in this car somehow. We don't want to hurt anything, but.
Yeah. Anyway, got a lot of people here coming up. I got to get my glasses on so I can read all the comments coming through here. Sorry, but let's get a few comments coming in here. And
so out of all the racing that you've done, what's your favorite, I guess, class? Is it funny cars?
Funny car by far. You know, I've kind of a tried and true funny car guy, and always my dream to run a funny car. You know, obviously a fuel car would be great. Obviously they go, you know, a few mile an hour faster, but for me right now and financially what I can do, the alcohol funny car is
where you want to be,
where I want to be, you know, I mean.
Okay. Let's get a car question in here from Mr. Furman. He says, got a car question for you. Last weekend, went to start my car and it wouldn't start. It would crank but not start. Then the radiator fan started up. Tried to start it again, nothing. The fan kept going for about another 2 minutes before it finally shut off. Then the car started up and acted just fine. Kind of crazy there. Got a connection problem somewhere.
Yeah. So I would wonder when he says it doesn't start, does it crank and not start or not crank at all?
Yeah, let's see if he'll answer that back up here. Yeah, we'll find out here in a minute. What James got there, Delbert Art, good morning. Got a lot of people watching here this morning, too. So, anyway, asking questions, let's get the phones ringing, 316-462-3673. And, Josh, I missed your question there. What's his favorite
thing? Well, yeah, so I was, as far as all the racing that he's done, what's his favorite class to be in and funny cars?
Funny cars, yeah. Got to be it, I would think so.
Funny car guy, through and through.
Yeah. So what did you drive before the funny car?
Nothing.
Nothing. Oh, you saw you
drove. So it's my driving history is kind of different than most people. You talk to most people that have raced and hey, they started out with juniors and kind of did some bracket racing and some fast heads up racing. But for me, I'm a little bit different. You know, obviously grew up watching my dad race, you know, low buck family team, you know, his focus was on his car and totally understandable. And I, you know, kind of why he was doing that. I grew up playing soccer, so that was kind of, you know, my passion and followed soccer all the way through college. That kind of helped pay through school and all the while, you know, spending some time in the shop learning from my dad, you know, and just kind of watching how he built a program and took a program from basically the ground up. And you know, so that was kind of what I watched, and once I finished with college, I was like, hey, you know, I enjoy competing. I'm not going to compete at a soccer level. I'm like, well, what about this racing thing? So, so kind of got more involved, you know, the last pro mod we had, him and I partnered up and, you know, we're able to get a pretty nice ride and kind of make a go at it for the last few years of a really strong hot rod that Larry Jeffers and, House Springs, Missouri built for us. So, you know, we did that. And like I said, I made a few passes in and I liked it. You know, and he was ready to get out of the seat and he's like, okay, well, what do we want to do? And I said, man, I want to go funny car racing. I said, I don't know about you, but you know, let's give this thing another go and see what we can do.
Yep.
And, so, you know, he sold the deal and we found our current car it was funny. We bought it from a guy in Colorado, Bill Bernard. He was getting out of funny car and going pro mod racing. So we were kind of flip flopping and, you know, our transmission combinations were basically the same. So the car was kind of already set up for what we had, which made it the transition for us a lot easier than having to put some tubes in it or remove some things. So, we got it. And then, you know, kind of the rest is history. And it's funny because Bill's actually back in a funny car racing. So
is he?
Yeah, he made a couple weekends in the pro mod and he didn't like it.
Didn't like it.
And so he's,
okay, let's also tell our listeners what's the difference between a pro mod and a funny car?
Okay, so a pro mod is really based on your everyday daily drivers. So, you know, guys, you know, the common body style now is your 2020 Camaro, but it's, you know, the chassis underneath of it is specific to the body again, but the wheelbase is 125, but this has, you know, shots, shocks, and struts just like your everyday driver.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it really is kind of, you know, it started out as, you know, basically a daily driver and people just kind of progressed and added bars and tubes to stiffen them up and make them work. So
it's really a stock car, but 125 inch wheelbase
stretched a little bit
too to make that happen. Now, how much is a pro mod? How much slower is a pro mod than a funny car? It's got to be slower with,
They're honestly very similar. They run a different, blower combination or power adder combination. So typically in pro mod, you have three power adder combinations. You have your nitrous, you have your blower, you have turbocharged. And then as of recently, the pro chargers have kind of become a big thing, which is essentially just a blower shoved down on the ground. So you just shoves the motor up through the air up through the intake where ours sits up higher.
Gotcha.
But, you know, in the eighth mile, they're probably running around, high 360s, high 370s. The turbo cars and the pro charge cars will run big speed. They make big power. They run about 215, 220 mile an hour. So they're making a little bit more juice. But then in the eighth mile or in the quarter mile, they'll run typically high 560s, 570s. And again, the pro charge deals run about close to 270, I think. So,
but the pro mod's easier to drive than a funny car.
Yeah, like you said, I wouldn't say easier. They steer easier.
Okay.
There's still, you know,
you still got to know what you're doing.
You still got to know what you're doing.
You'll be able to hang on to it.
And as of late, so the pro mod deals And when I talk about this, I'm more referencing like NHRA just because I know a little bit more. But this year they made a new rule that the Pro Mod guys actually had to shift their deal. Typically in years past, they had them auto shifted. So it's kind of showing these guys, hey, you know, it's not quite that easy. You got to still hit your shift points on time. Where the funny car class, we've always had to shift ours manually. We've never had auto shifts. So
you shift your car too.
Yeah. Yeah. So our deal is it's a 3-speed.
Really? I did not know you in a funny car you actually shifted that thing.
Yeah, it's a 3-speed and it's air shifted. It's air operated. Yeah. So I have 2 buttons up on the steering wheel. So
it's actually pushing it.
Yep. So
I thought that thing was a 1-to-1. Hit it.
How fast?
Think about it. Okay, how fast in an 8th mile you went? How quick?
211.
Which time was what?
3.61 seconds.
3.5 seconds.
And you're shifting it three times.
Twice.
Twice. Yeah. Shifting it twice.
Yeah. Typically, you know, I'll go out there, you know, 2 seconds. I get the 1-2. And then honestly, for 8th mile, right about the finish line, I'm shoving it in high gear.
In high gear.
And then I've got to get over there and try to get my chutes and figure out what I'm doing.
Yeah.
So you got to get the out of the gate. So you got to get the ET. Then you got to hit your shift points.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like you said.
There's a lot going on here.
There's
more than a lot of people would think. Now, the next thing. Okay. Here, James, pop back in here again, Josh. Let's get. And it says the first time it cranked, the second time the fans were going, there was nothing. So, James, you've got a connection problem somewhere. I don't know if it happened again or whatever, James, but if it's still acting up, James, we probably better take a look at that thing for you. Okay, so now then you've made a pass. This is what a lot of people don't realize. And Josh, you were getting things ready this morning. I was talking to Kyle, and we were talking about our hours and stuff, you know, because I left here about 10 o'clock last night working on the dirt car. And he left about 12:30 last night working on his car. You know? So the hours that go into these cars is incredible how much time we spend on them and stuff. But you do so much more for just that 3.5 seconds.
Oh, yeah.
The amount of time you have to go. So let's talk a little bit about, okay, you've made that pass. Your chutes are done. You're pulling back into the pits, and now it just takes on. Now, is it 90 minutes again you got between rounds?
Our deal, it kind of varies. You know, it's from association to association, from racetrack to racetrack. It kind of varies.
Varies how much time you got in between there.
Yeah.
But in that, let's say it's 90 minutes. What all do you – you basically tear that car completely apart.
Well, not – so it kind of depends on. So the first thing we get back after the run, we'll get it back and we'll get it jacked up. Kind of get the spark plugs out because we typically put new spark plugs in every few runs. That's kind of a tuning thing we use. You know, Dad can kind of look at the plugs and we can decide, okay, are we lean? Are we rich? Do we have some holes that we need to adjust? So that's something he's looking at pretty quickly after a run. Valve covers are coming off. Then I'll adjust or I'll run through and check the valves. You know, that's kind of a quick sign. Hey, do we have an issue? You know, knock on wood, as of late, our motor's been pretty solid. So run through, I'll check the valves. Hey, if I don't have any that are really loose or really tight, I'd say, hey, we're good. Do that. At that point, we're trying to get the converter and the transmission cooled off.
Trying to get them cool off, you taking them out or you actually physically?
We just put a fan on ours.
Okay.
You know, we just kind of have a big fan that we set and kind of flip and maneuver just to get everything cooled off.
Get the air moving in there. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll check the filter after every pass just to make sure there's no metal in it. You know, because if we see a lot of metal, then we start to say, okay, well, we probably need to drop the pan, check the bearings if we do see metal. If not, you know, we'll just clean it, put a filter in it, and let it kind of cool off.
Do you change the oil every round?
We don't. So typically, we'll go about 3 to 4 runs on an oil change.
How much oil does that bad boy hold?
So we run about 20 quarts.
20? Dang. Of course.
Yeah.
And it's a dry sump system?
It's a dry sump system. So, yeah, we have most, you know, just for safety purposes, it's a really a good deal, you know, that way all 20 quarts aren't sitting in the pan.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, but we do, we have an engine diaper, which is out of carbon fiber. You know, some of them are just like a soft-sided. And then under that, we have kind of a bucket that encapsulates that. So if you do have an oops.
Yeah,
most of the oil is contained
in there, not in that situation. But.
So then, in that time frame, oil wise, you know, you're checking that. But how about like fuel consumed?
Yeah, so we use typically 4 to 6 gallons of fuel on a pass.
Man.
So yeah, like that's one thing. Like you said, we'll typically fuel it right before we go up there. Obviously have to repack the parachutes. We have some breather overflows, so like oil and alcohol that we'll drain.
Dumping those out.
Yeah. We check the battery, charge the battery. And really from there, we'll kind of make any tweaks that dad seems fit. Hey, we may need to put some weight in the front or take some weight out.
Do you have to weigh a certain amount? Do you weigh this?
We do, yeah. So after every run, we have to go across the scales. So we have to weigh 2,300 is a minimum.
Minimum, at least 2,300. It's kind of a weird kind of number. Mine's 2,450.
You're right. So yeah, we have to weigh, and then they actually check our fuel. So
yeah, because you got a certain mixture you can only run of nitro, right?
Well, we actually just run straight methanol.
You run straight methanol. That's
not, yeah, so they check and just make sure there's no hydrocarbons or anything like that. So typically after a weekend of racing, we'll clean our entire fuel system, and we just have to be very careful what we clean it with, because you know, you get a little WD-40 in it, it contaminates it, it will show bad on a fuel check. So
yeah. Oh yeah, I bet. So
you know, we're very careful about, you know,
when you're cleaning it, what are you cleaning it with?
So we have,
maybe if you can't tell us, I get it, but
no, so we have a silicone based product that you get from, we run a Waterman fuel pump.
Yeah, Waterman.
It comes from them. So, you know, we use that. We'll blow air through them and just make sure, you know, because obviously alcohol is so corrosive.
Yep. So you don't leave any fuel in it when it sets, right? No. It's all drained.
Yeah. Everything. Yeah. That's one thing we make sure to do. Because like you said, even, you know, you let it sit for a day and you kind of see it start to get a little white corrosive powder and everything. You know, we have poppets and lines and fuel system timers that, you know, it's really crucial for us to make it sure it's clean, sure it operates properly. If we don't have enough fuel, all of a sudden the blower goes off the car and we got a lot of work. So
you got a lot of dollars too.
Yeah. Yeah,
so now tires, how many runs do you get out of a set of rear tires?
We run ours a lot because we're a small team. Last year I think we put it 45 to 50 on them.
45 to 50 runs before you'd actually change them.
And we run Hoosiers. You know, we really like the Hoosier tire. There, some guys run Goodyears, but you know, we found that the Hoosier works for our combination the best.
Yep, Hoosier. Kyle, we're very deep in the Hoosier with that, and we work very closely with those guys up there in Indiana with the different compounds and different stuff. And I tell you, it was a trip for us to go through there a year ago to see a tire built. I'd never seen in all my years, I've never seen a tire built, but to see a tire built, finally understand why it costs so much to have a tire now. But it is cool to watch what they do with those compounds and everything they go through, the R&D, the testing and everything they do with those tires. It's crazy what they go through in those tires and stuff too. So, hey everybody, let's get the phones ringing. 316-462-3673. Any questions for Kyle or whatever, but learning a lot here so far. Kyle, got a lot of people watching and listening, so that's cool. Give us a like over on YouTube TV. That would be great. Or here on Facebook Live also too. So 316-462-3673. Let's get the phones ringing. And again, it can be anything in your car, like a normal Saturday is anything ailing your car. But today, if you want to talk about Kyle or ask him some questions about his race team or whatever, we're here to talk about what happened down there in Texas or whatever, too. So 316-462-3673.
So we go back to fuel pressures a little bit, or fuel, the consumption. What kind of fuel pressures are you running?
You know, we don't really monitor that, probably. I don't even know.
Yeah, you got to be a lot.
It's a lot of
between
fuel
doing
pressure.
That and then injectors.
It's at least over 100 PSI. I don't exactly know what the reading is at the pump itself. So
to be dumping that kind of volume down there, that's a lot of fuel in a short amount of time.
How much was that again you go through in a run?
4 to 6 gallons.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, you know, when you do the burnout, do you only go so far with that throttle too? You have a throttle stop on it?
I don't, you know, just a lot of feel, but man, I honestly, if you look, I just crack the blades
just enough,
a quarter of an inch. You know, it's amazing once the tire's wet and with that much horsepower.
Yeah.
It'll smoke the tires like that.
Yeah, so that's what I was telling Josh. Give me a little throttle stop
and let you go. So then from the other side of that, how about your ETs? Talk about your time off the light. What's what are you gaining for? What are you after there? I mean, obviously you want to get that as soon as you can. You want to get off the tree as soon as you can, but how many times have you consistently hit it right on the head?
You know, honestly, I don't think I've ever had a perfect light, which for what we're doing, it's a 4/10 tree. So, perfect would be 0.4000. Typically for me, if I'm having a good weekend, I like to be about 420. You know, that's really ideal. I don't want to be
going the other way. It's not good, right?
Yeah, no, you obviously, three 399 is obviously bad. And then, 500 is really bad. So, for me, if I'm a 420 guy, I'm happy with it. And, that gives us our best chance.
2/10 of a second from perfect light, pretty damn
good. How do you practice that? Do you practice that on the street lights out here on Kellogg? Or?
I have a practice tree at home
that I use
a lot. For us, it's pretty critical. So in Funny Car, there's kind of two different transmission combinations. So our car is an automatic. It truly has a converter in it. Typically most of your other funny cars have a clutch. Mm-hmm. So those guys are revving it up to $7,000 and they're swapping feet.
Really?
So for us to be competitive with some of the larger teams, I got to be good on the tree and, give us our best chance. There are a few guys, clutch guys that they can go 420 all day but they're just animals. For us, typically our car should react a little quicker. Our converter should run quicker to the eighth, but typically after the eighth, I just got to hold on and hope I don't have a clutch guy drive around me. Because the clutch guys, they can get their clutch locked up. Mm-hmm. Where our converter combination, we can't. It's not allowed to have a lockup. So you think we lose a little speed just based on the fact that they're typically one to one at the finish line. We're slipping, anywhere from 3 to 7%, just kind of depends. Just
depending on what you're losing out of there on the
Yeah. Part. So for us, the key to our success is being quick. So
yeah, I get you there too. So the clutch guy, you'll race against a clutch guy too sometimes.
Yeah. Honestly, most of the alcohol funny car guys are clutch cars. Kind of been the tradition. And obviously we've seen over the years what the automatics and the converters have done. I mean, Marty Chance just up the road, Cheney, Kansas, Neil Chance converters, they've really taken the converter technology to the next level.
Yeah. That's what I've heard. Yeah.
We do lose a little bit, but, for our small team, it's really the way to go. And it was a combination that we ran on the pro mod. So we've kind of used it and just gotten more familiar with it.
Yeah. And, the converter technology has come a long ways. I've heard a lot about that, just from being here in our parts store and listening to the guys coming in here and stuff like that too. And it's crazy how much that has changed. Of course, it's crazy how much the motor technology changed. It's crazy how all this technology keeps changing, going. And I also still remember in Topeka when he was up there and the funny cars ran their first, a quarter mile. So it'd been the first, what would that have been? Probably the first time in the sixes, maybe in the 80s, I think it was. And everybody was flipping out saying timers were off, everything's wrong, and it wasn't. But it was the first time the funny car had breaking that kind of a speed. Maybe it's 300.
It's probably 300 and then 5 seconds.
Probably five seconds.
Was probably kind of the barriers.
But I remember standing in the pits down there and everybody's freaking out, man, we got to get these lights fixed, the timer's fixed, they're wrong, and they weren't. That's just how much the funny cars had started coming in the technology world and stuff like that too. And really NHRA went to the 8th mile just because of how fast they were going in a quarter. Isn't that really kind of what happened there?
Yeah. Now? So the fuel cars, they run to 1,000 foot.
Yeah.
So it's kind of confusing for people to go, well, what, but yeah, a lot of it's due to the safety factor. I mean, at that time they were running 330 miles in a quarter mile honestly, most of the racetracks weren't
capable of handling that.
Built to, the shutdown area wasn't long enough.
Yeah.
So they did a good thing by moving it to 1,000 foot. I think it's safety, but just like anything else, they're creeping up.
They're creeping back up again.
They run close to 330 now in 1,000 foot.
God, that is just crazy.
I mean, so
just once. Let's just do it once.
I want to ride.
Yeah, I'd like to go 330 in a
yeah,
1,000 foot.
It's crazy, isn't it?
It's,
I know the car gets a diaper, but do I get one too?
You're gonna need one, right, Josh? Yeah.
So we talk about, you know, staging and at the light. And so when you're leaving, what RPMs are you leaving at? And then what RPMs are you leaving, or are you finishing this thing at? And what's the range on the car? And
yeah, so for us, we kind of vary the RPM we leave at just depending on track conditions and things, yeah, like that. So anywhere for us, it's anywhere from 4,000 to 5,000 RPM.
Leaving.
Wow. And you were saying a clutch car is around 7?
They're around 7. You know, they really get theirs revved up and screaming. Yeah. But then going down the racetrack, we try to shift ours anywhere between 95 and 10,000. That's kind of where we like it there.
Wow, 10 grand. I didn't realize you'd run that big motor, that many RPM. But I guess, again, back to the technology in these motors today and the metals we have, yeah, it's no different in our passenger cars. Kyle, I mean, back in the day when I was wrenching on cars at 80, 90,000 miles, we were tearing motors apart. We were boring them and everything because they wore apart. You can tear a motor apart today at 150,000, still see the crosshatches in them.
Yeah.
When they were honed. I mean, right, it's crazy how much difference there is. So it's kind of the same deal with you with the drag racing side of it.
Yeah, and even our 10,000 is pretty low compared to some people. There's some people that will go 10.3 on a gear change, not even blink an eye. So,
and so then in, you know, in number of passes and stuff like that, I mean, is there a kind of a, how long do these motors last for you?
You know, we kind of have a number that we put on things. You know, a crankshaft will run 70 to 100 runs. You know, assuming, you know, we'll send it back after a season. We'll get a Magnaflux to make sure there's no cracks in it.
Looking through everything.
You know, rods, we run them about 20 runs and they go in a bucket. You know,
really?
Pistons,
20
you know,
runs.
Yeah, 20 runs. So, you know, pistons, it kind of varies if the combination's good. But, you know, last year we went a whole season on a set of pistons. Never
really?
Burned a piston, never stuck a ring, never did anything, which is pretty remarkable to think what we did run last year compared to some of these other guys. I mean, when we were at Dallas last year and we ran our career best 550, you know, after that run, I think there was 13 cars there and you walked through the pits and honest to goodness, about 7 of them were either putting a fresh rack in it or legit putting a fresh motor in it. I mean,
really?
These guys had torn up their stuff to go run fast.
Wow.
And our deal is really pretty safe. You know, we can't be putting motors and things,
yeah,
like that in it. We're pretty low. So low bug deal, but you know, on that, you know, valve springs, you know, they have a life, you know, typically a couple weekends and they're done. They're going in the trash, you know, valves, you know, kind of the same deal, a couple seasons on those, lifters, you know, we'll run those a little while. And, but you know, for our deal, everything's got a life and,
sure,
and we just try to stay within that. And that's how we keep our program running so really smooth. You know, we probably put less runs on things than some of these bigger teams, just because the fact is, we can't afford to have something break. Got to try to beat that and get it out before it breaks.
Yeah. I mean, the RPMs, the speeds that you're running at and stuff like that. I mean, you know, and it's not a couple dollars, but a couple dollar valve spring, you know, versus a whole motor, if that were to fail is a substantial amount of money difference.
Oh,
so
yeah.
A little maintenance goes a long way. How about the block itself?
You know, the blocks, they'll last a long time. We
have sleeves in your blocks.
We
too,
have
right?
sleeves in our blocks. Okay. That really helps. You know, we ran a block last year that I think is 15 years old.
Really?
You know, it's just a testament to taking care of your stuff and not hurting it. I mean, and they can fix them. I mean,
yeah,
you know, we run a Brad Anderson deal. They're kind of the cream of the crop.
Are they
when it comes
still
to
Brad Anderson?
Yeah, yeah.
That was kind of the back in the 80s, 90s.
You know, he's really built a company that does things the right way, and they can really fix a lot of things. You know, after a couple seasons, we'll send it back. We'll have the main line honed, and we'll have the cam,
yep,
line honed, and we'll put new sleeves in it. And you know, the one we had, it actually had a rod failure, and they welded it up, and you really can't tell. You can't
really
tell that a rod had come out the side of it.
That's pretty cool.
But they really, the technology, like, you know, it comes back to the technology and just what we've learned over time. But yeah, so
anyway, real question. Again, some things I can't answer about my race car either. I get a lot of people asking a lot of questions and stuff. And I've learned from a pretty good old boy that builds my cars, Buddy Mullins, how to answer some of those questions and stuff from that part. So I get some of these questions maybe too, but what size ring gear do you run?
So we run a 10 inch ring gear.
10 inch.
10 inch, which is pretty standard for the funny car deal. The Nitro guys run, I think it's an 11 or 12. It's a monster.
Yeah, it has to be a monster to hold a, because you're running, what'd you say, 3,500
horse? 3,500 horse.
Those guys are pumping out what, 8?
11,000.
11,000.
Good. They've gone to a whole nother level. But, yeah. You know, honestly, a ring gear for us, if I drive it right, it's not shaking the tires. You know, we can go a couple seasons on it.
I guess you probably could.
You know, so we typically not, you know, don't shake the tires and aren't hard on the ring gears, but
axles, I would think, would take a lot of abuse back there.
They're solid. I mean, we run a strange piece. It's a real nice.
Got strange axles in my car too. It's amazing how many comparative part brands are in the cars and different things stuff.
Yeah.
From that part, you know, the fuel pumps are the same. I guarantee our rings are probably the same. The ring gears are all straying too and stuff too from that part. So yeah, I get it from that side too. So how often do the actual pistons come out of that motor?
After every weekend.
Every weekend.
Yeah, so. we'll typically after every weekend, it comes down to the bare block. A blower will come off, blower and intake will come off, heads will come off, I'll service those. The blower or the pistons and rods will come out. We'll just kind of check those, make sure the rings are looking good, make sure the pistons, there aren't any issues, you know, galding or anything like that.
Yep.
We'll look over the sleeves real good. You know, we may have to touch a sleeve, you know, run a hone through it just real quick, just to dust it.
Yep.
We'll look at the crank real good, you know, make sure, you know, there's no grooves or anything in the rod journals. We may have to touch one there. Drop the main caps down, look at the bearings, and really the bearings for us tell us a lot about our engine program.
Yeah.
How hard we're working on it or not working on it. So we spend a lot of time on the engine portion of it, just making sure there's nothing missed or things like that. So
I'm sure there's a lot of time spent right there too. I get it. So anyway, Kyle, I sure would love some questions, guys. Let's get the phones ringing. 316-462-3673. Of course, a lot of people just like to sit back and listen and different things. Kyle, we take this show all over. We're here most Saturdays, but we've been everywhere. I've been to Bristol, Tennessee, and at the Bristol track with it. We've been, where have we been, Josh? We've been all over this.
Down to Oklahoma a couple of different times
at the
Chili Bowl.
We've been there with it and different things, but we'll go all over the town and stuff. But usually when we bring a special guest, I will tell you, we normally get 6 to 9 calls on a show, but we bring a special guest in, we don't hardly get any calls because everybody just wants to listen and stuff. So I get that part.
That's all right.
I was hoping we'd get some questions and stuff going, but of course, James Furman just asked too, I was just about to ask if funny cars went through a teardown after each run like the top fuel guys do. Well, yep, sure do.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, honestly, it just kind of depends on what we see on, we have a computer so we can kind of check data.
So what all you in that computer data? Cause I'm in the midst of trying to work with the dirt track side to get out of these damn carburetors, which I mean, the manufacturer got rid of carburetors in 1985. It's time for us to get in some injection as things go, working with different things and stuff like that too. So what kind of a injection do you guys have?
So we're mechanical fuel injection.
Mechanical fuel injection.
You know, we just have, the fuel pump, the main line, and then we just have nozzles that run into the intake, which sprays down into the intake.
And then
we have a couple that are actually up in the blower as well, just kind of used to cool the rotors off.
Just to pull some fuel out.
Yeah, it cools the charge. So, you know, all that, when the blades are open, all that air is trying to shove down. So the fuel kind of cools the charge into the intake.
Cold air injection. Anyway, so when you say you got a computer on board, can you tell us what you're all monitoring there?
Gosh, we monitor a lot. We monitor drive shaft speed, engine RPM, EGT temps, so temperatures of the exhaust.
Is that each cylinder?
Each cylinder. Yeah. So, in each header, we have just a bung that reads. That we use that as well as kind of a tuning thing, just to see, are we getting any cylinders that are hot or cold or whatnot?
Yep.
We monitor oil pressure, battery voltage, which is really important for our deal. You know, we got to have enough battery voltage to run everything on it.
There's no alternators or anything on them, right? Yeah, no. Just
run 12 volt, 16 volt.
We run a 12 volt deal.
12 volt.
Kind of a small, it's really like a motorcycle type or an ATV type battery.
You know, battery in there. Yeah. Got, yeah.
Let's see what else we monitor.
So if you, yeah,
we monitor blower boost. Yeah. We kind of monitor, top end pressure. So on that specific one, we're just monitoring to see what the typical pressure is in the intake.
Yeah.
And then, cause if it does, let's say it does burn a piston or get a ring, all of a sudden that pressure will go up.
Yeah.
So that's kind of another quick sign, another quick thing we look at after a run. Hey, was the pressure good? Okay, yep. It's good. So we assume we don't have a hurt piston or things like that. So,
okay, got another question here. You keep saying for team our size, how big is your team versus a normal team? And I think we're kind of chime in there a little bit too, because before we get here to his question there a little bit. You run against the guys that's all they do. You have a normal job, kind of like I do, a normal job.
Yep.
Everybody wants to know how much further me and Jake are going to go with this dirt track thing. And you know what? We got a dealership here to take care of first. Then the racing's kind of secondhand there from that part. But so I get with what he's asking there too, but I also feel your pain.
Yeah.
You know, of being there and paying our own dues and paying our own stuff. So I'll let you add in more into there, but I hear what he's saying, but it's here to good to hear it from somebody else too.
Yeah. So we'll kind of just start out from when I say that, we'll start out with the crew itself. Typically at least from a service perspective at home, it's typically dad, myself, you know, we have a few people who stop by and give us a hand, but we really, two of us will really get the car ready between races. We do typically, you know, my stepmom will go with us and we'll have some friends that go. We'll try to take, you know, a couple other people when we go to the races. So between all of us, we'll have, you know, 5 to 6 people.
Yeah. On your crew.
You know, I'll talk about some of these other teams. I'll use a guy like Sean Bellemere. So Sean Bellemere has been the world champ the last 2 years.
Yeah.
The team's owned by Tony Bartone, and those guys are full paid guys.
Yeah.
And all they do is work on the car all day, every day. And he'll fly him in and fly him home. And he usually has, most of the bigger crews have, you know, 6 to 8 people.
Yep.
And so just from a size perspective of crew help, that's kind of one facet of when I talk about a small team.
Yeah.
Then when we go kind of to the next level, when I talk about a small team, spare parts inventory. Yep. Right now we have one block.
Yep.
The block that's in the car. We do have a spare transmission. We don't have a spare set of heads. We have a spare rack, rods and pistons that we carry with us, which is pretty rare. That's kind of a new thing we've been able to kind of save up for. Most of these other teams, at least in the top 10 in the country, you're talking 3 motors in the trailer ready to go. A couple blowers, 3 trannies at least.
Yep.
So from not only the small team, just the financial aspect of what, you know, what our team can afford and run with versus what some of these other teams have. Yeah.
Okay. I got a couple more questions coming up here. And Aaron Cooper, he's another big drag racer. What's your favorite part about running the car as a family, and what's easiest to drive, dragster or funny car?
We always have the dragster and funny car debate, but for us doing it as a family is, I think you kind of, you make that circle smaller. You know, when you start adding more people to the equation, there becomes more personalities to deal with and things like that.
Opinions,
Opinions, yeah. You know, so it's pretty cut and dry with dad and myself. You know, we have discussions, you know, what the plan is for the upcoming race, things we want to do, things we need to change. And then from a tune-up perspective, that's really his deal. That's, you know, he spends a lot of time during the week going through data, thinking of things, you know, just knowing our next race. Hey, what's the weather conditions going to be like? What do we need to do to prepare for those weather conditions? Hey, is it a tranny change, a converter change, a compression change, things like that? So he spends a lot of time on that. And then, so that makes it easier, just from making decisions. And then for the dragster funny car debate, I'm a funny car guy. You know, I say funny cars are harder to drive. We have to shift ours.
Yeah.
And Aaron, I give him a hard time, but you know, their deal is kind of a mini version of a Top Fuel dragster.
Yeah.
You know, it's 1-to-1. You know, he leaves the line, he just smashes the pedal and goes. You know, our deal, we do have to shift it and things like that, but they're all hard to drive.
They're all hard to drive.
I mean, it kind of sounds like you're calling him out a little bit. I'm not going to lie.
You know, when you run 260 plus miles an hour, it's things move like that. Yep. You got to make decisions. So,
A couple more questions. If you ever stop running a funny car, is there another car you would want to drive?
I would probably go back to a Pro Mod. Just because I'm a Hemi guy. I'm a blower guy. I kind of want to stick with that engine combination, and I would probably go back to a Pro Mod and drive that, just because I think they're wild. You know, they're really unpredictable. I mean, you see, they really, you know, the technology with them has come a long way, just in chassis adjustments, shocks and struts. They really have started to figure out how to really make them work. But that would probably be my next class I would go to. And then, of course, obviously, if I got a chance, I'd run Top Fuel.
Okay, that's the next question, too, is would you ever want to drive a fuel funny car? Of course.
I'd love to. Fuel funny car, fuel dragster, I think, just from the fact of 11,000 horse.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
The pure acceleration factor of those.
Yeah.
I'm in.
Yeah, exactly. Well, keep the questions coming. Some great questions here. Or call in the show, 316-462-3673. And Aaron? Let's get you on the phone here too, buddy. Man, we have a conversation going between you and Kyle here.
He did call you out about that shifting deal. You probably need to discuss that a little more.
Exactly. So let's get some phones ringing. 316-462-3673. And Kyle, great interview. Keep it up, man. So
thanks,
there's a lot of,
it.
You know, and that's the same difference in the dirt track. We got the guys that give each other a little crap. We got to stand them up a little bit and everything else too. But it's all part of fun. And it's kind of like I say here at the dealership, if you don't, we got to have some fun around here. And if you don't have a little bit of thick skin around here.
Yeah, you're not going to make it. And it's funny, you know, Aaron's dad, Gary
him and
my father grew up racing together, competing with each other. And, you know, they've helped each other out back and forth along the way, you know, just doing odds and ends. And so it's great to have another racing family that kind of competes, you know, on the same style that we do, kind of a family deal, same class, just on the dragster side, you know. So it's cool that we can, you know, have them and kind of just, you know, bounce things off of them. And you know, there's lots of smart people, and then, you know, it's never a bad thing to have somebody else in your corner.
It's exactly correct. And, you know, what we're going to have to do here, you know, we didn't do it. We didn't do it last year, did we? Or did we? Burnouts out in front of the store.
Oh, yeah. No, we did not do it last year.
Aaron did come. Well, I think Gary actually.
Gary did one Gary a couple of years ago. Yeah.
Did a burnout in front of the store. And, well, we need to get that orange Mustang out here to do a little burnout too or something. You know what I mean? And have a little burn fun time. I'm sure you saw the yellow Mustang sitting in the showroom.
I saw it.
That thing is it's a tire smoking deal. Actually, the last burnout we did right out in front of the store, I put a brand new set of Hoosiers on it and roasted the whole thing right off the first. a lot of fun. But we're in a process now. We ordered in a 21 Mustang.
Oh, wow.
And we're going to do a build on that car.
That's going to be cool.
We're going to go out and just take it bone stock out to Kansas National Dragway and run a pass and say, okay, here's how fast it goes stock.
Mm-hmm.
Then we're going to put a set of slicks on it, show how much faster it'll go with a set of slicks.
Oh, that'll be a cool progression.
And it go all the way through. We're going to try to get it in the 8 seconds and just say, well, we can just constantly build. But then we're going to show each time we build it, every time we change it, we'll do the video again and show how much faster it goes. But then we're going to show them exactly what we spent, how much parts, how much labor, and all that kind of stuff. So everybody kind of knows what it takes to get there. And, you know, it's like everybody asked me is, how much you got in that dirt car? I don't want to know.
Yeah. Don't ask.
Don't ask.
Because I don't have all my receipts.
Yeah, no, I don't want to know. I don't want to know from that part. But it's going to be fun to do that with that car from that part. But what we did, we just had some burnouts out here and different things. And the best part about it is we actually had police officers drive by. And we actually had one set at the light up there and watch us go and let it go. So, I mean, that's the part of the fun of that thing and everything else. And I think we had in a pretty controlled environment.
Yeah.
I mean, out there had people back enough ways in every case something did happen. But I mean, Gary didn't hit it too hard.
Nah.
And then can't remember the guy's name that came in the Pro Mod come out. Oh, was it a Pro? Yeah, it was a Pro Mod.
Yeah.
I can't think of his name. He he couldn't get a very good burnout. It is very coarse out there.
Yeah.
From that part. And I think that's also what tore my Hoosiers up so bad.
Probably.
I stayed in a little bit long, too, from that part. So, anyway, Delbert's got a question here. I sent guys pictures of the screw they pulled out of my tire last Saturday. Facebook message under the Mel Hamilton Ford. Boy, Delbert, I must have missed that. I'll have to go back and see if I can find that. Delbert's also looking for a guy in Oklahoma City for some nitrogen. We have to help Delbert figure that out, too.
But getnitrogen.org, I think, has shops that are available for that,
does it?
Too.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Delbert, hope you picked that up on there, too, but not, we can call you after the show. All right, 316-462-3673, or just put some comments out there, and we'll get some questions answered here for Kyle. Hey, I think we got a call to me, Josh.
We do. We got Dustin. Dustin's going to be joining us here in just a little bit.
All right, fantastic.
We'll get him patched through here and see what questions he's got for you. He's going to try and stump you, maybe. I don't know. We'll see. Dustin, you're on live with Under the Hood. Go ahead.
Yes, I had a question about my 2014 Econoline passenger van.
Okay.
A couple years ago, we noticed that whenever we were running the air conditioner or the heater, that it wasn't coming out of our vents in the back of the van. That was probably a switch or something that needed to be replaced. And it was never a huge deal, because you could always use the floor heat in the wintertime, and at least we had the air conditioner in the summertime. But here we just went on a trip for spring break, and I noticed whenever we had the cool on in the front, now on the floor, it was now coming out hot in the back, so we weren't even getting cold air out of the vents in the back now, out of the bottom vents anyways. I just wanted to know what possibly I could look at as far as where I should start looking. Does that be like a actuator switch or something like that?
So there's a couple of questions I guess I'd have. One is the blower, and you have air moving in the back, but it's just coming out the floor. It won't come out the vents on the roof.
It'll only... cold air comes out of the roof. I don't get any heat out of the roof vents.
Okay.
And then on the floor, I only get heat. I don't get any cold air out of the floor.
Sounds to me like, and the AC system, as far as the front unit, it works fine. It's plenty cool and everything like that.
Sure. There's no issues on there.
Yeah. It sounds like you've got some actuators that are maybe messed up in the rear of that. In the rear unit, so it's going to have its own independent HVAC case and blower and dash actuators and everything back there, and so I'm going to say there's probably something going on with that in that rear unit. Dustin, what I'm going to do, I'm going to go ahead and throw a diagnostic onto your package, and we'll take a look at that at no charge to you, and figure out just exactly what's going on with that thing, and get it figured out for you. Okay.
Sure, that'll work.
But I'm going to say we're probably going to find something going on with one of the actuators in the back.
All right. Yeah, I figured it was probably something like that, but I've never had to deal with that with this van before, so I wasn't real familiar as far as where to find it and all that. But all right.
We'll get that diagnostic added onto your package. Appreciate the call and get you fixed up, especially before summer gets here. It's right around the corner.
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
Thanks for the call.
Bye.
All right, Josh, while you're getting Jordan on here, I got another question on Facebook here. Kyle, he's asking, did you do anything different in Texas that you feel made your weekend such a success? That's a question coming off there from
Facebook. We did, from last year to this season, we did make a few changes within the transmission, some different things with the converter. That probably led to some of our quicker times.
Yep.
As of last year, our best ET in the eighth mile was like 3.64 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
So by the time we'd run the first round of eliminations, we'd already elapsed we'd beat our best time. We went 3.64 and I think it's 3.64, just slightly quicker. And then in the semis, we went 363. And in the finals, we went 361. So we did feel like the changes we made over the winter were showing, you know, so we did make some progress there.
It's amazing what you've worked on to get hundreds of a second.
Oh, yeah.
that amount of time you do that. And it's kind of the same difference where we're at in our car. We work for tenths of a second to try to get that lap time around there a little differently. So,
yeah. So it's kind of amazing. Over the entire weekend, we made 8 passes. The first one, I ran it out there a little ways and just clicked it off. We wanted to make sure I remembered how to drive first. And then second, make sure everything looked good. And then our next pass, we went 3.68 seconds. So over the entire weekend, we went from 3.68 seconds to 3.61 seconds. And overall, we progressed. We got quicker every lap down the racetrack.
That's what won it too, isn't it?
Yeah. And really, that's a testament to, you know, just hard work and the, you know, the relentless hours. My father we have a friend of ours, Brandon Pez, is a big consultant with us, and just the hard work these guys put in to make the changes for the conditions, whether it be the track or the air, and just progressively pick apart where we need to be to get, you know,
that much better.
Yeah. So just a lot of hard work by a lot of people.
Oh yeah. I get it. Okay.
Let's go back to the phones. Let's talk to Jordan. Jordan, you're on live with Under the Hood. Go ahead.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's happening, buddy?
I got a drag racing question. I see, I'm a dirt track guy. I have been my whole life. Sprints mostly till I lost my ride, kind of like Cole Trickle. I watch the top fuel cars on TV, and I've always been embarrassed to ask being a car guy, but, you know, now there's some anonymity with me behind this radio. I watch the top fuel cars. I don't see any shocks or springs. Where's the suspension on those cars? I've always wanted to know. They have to have some sort of suspension, right?
So there is no suspension on these cars, you know, and same for my car. It's just a chassis. Over the time, we'll talk about a top fuel dragster. Top fuel dragster's 300-inch wheelbase. So obviously something that long, when you put pieces of tubing there, there's going to be some flexibility. And they've kind of learned over time where they need to put the upright supports to allow the cars to flex
bend
amount. So really just for a top fuel dragster, a lot of it is the length of it. You know, they can decide, hey, we need it to flex X amount. We're going to put an upright tubing here or there. And then on a funny car deal, it just truly is a stiff car. You know, it's kind of the same, a shorter wheelbase, 125-inch, but there is a little bit of flex. Anytime you had 11,000 horsepower to something, it's going to try to flex it. You know, and they can shift weight around to get the cars to react differently. But yeah, truly, there are no shocks or struts or anything like that on
springs or nothing.
Yeah, on a funny, really a top fuel, top fuel dragster, top fuel funny car, alcohol funny car, and alcohol dragster. There is no suspension,
none whatsoever. How many, like, your cars, if they flex, you can see them on TV and everything. Those the top fuel guys and the dragsters, they're bent. You can see it going through there. Like your chassis or whatever, how long, how many years of life can you get out of a chassis? That's another good, unwrecked, I guess.
Yeah,
I should say.
It's really hard to say. You know, the chassis we have now, it's an 09. It's kind of really, it's hard to say what the life is on them. I mean, typically most of the larger teams, you know, they'll put a couple, you know, 2 to 4 seasons on them.
Yep.
And then they'll sell them and build a new one just because they can. You know, with our deal, you know, we've found a chassis that really works for our combination.
Yep.
We like it. It's kind of an older style chassis. They've, you know, obviously in, you know, 11 years, you know, they've, you know, figured out some things and moved some things, but it really works well for us. So, I mean, obviously, we got an 11-year-old one, and we'll probably keep running it for a while.
And just one with it, right?
Yeah, so it works.
Well, Jordan, I was like you. I had no idea there was no suspension in those cars. I would have thought there had to be something to help get the traction to the ground or something.
Literally just chassis flex. That's awesome. I had no idea. That's really, really interesting.
Yep.
Yep, very true. I didn't had no idea. I thought they had to have something under there, but you're right. But you don't see it because there isn't nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right, Jordan, thanks for the call, buddy.
Hey, thanks. Have a good one, Jordan.
Hey, thanks, guys. Have a good, enjoy your Saturday. Happy Easter.
Yeah, you too.
Talk to you later.
Anyway, and then Delbert Alt brings up another good question. Could some of your driving change how you performed? Exactly. And I'm going to ask you this question because I have this debate with my son all the time. Is I say 95% of in that race car is in your head. You got to have your head on right. You got to be mentally prepared. You got to be ready to go. and it's 95% right up here.
It is. You know, in qualifying, we made a pass with one of the other Top Fuel funny cars, and you know, we had the conversation, and Dad was like, "Hey, don't look over there. Don't do anything. Focus on what you do." And for the most part, I do that anyways. I'm pretty lasered in to my lane. I can't worry about them. I got enough in the car that I got to do. And I got to leave on time, and I got to shift on time, and really, I got to get it shut down on time. That's really important to making our engine live. So, you're 100% correct. A lot of it is right in your head and being 100% focused on the task at hand, and that's getting the car down the track as safe as possible and as quick as possible. So whether it was a fuel car or a dragster or whatever in the other lane, I didn't know. Honestly, I didn't even hear. I was so focused, I didn't hear them. I didn't know one of them did a burnout. I thought they maybe had broke.
Yeah.
Until I pulled to the light and the stage light's on. I'm like, well, he must be over there.
Yeah, you can't. So, yeah, I got you.
But yeah, it's truly taking care of the task at hand and
focus on what you got to do and get it done.
You know, they're going to do what they're going to do.
Yep.
But we got to do what we got to do. So.
Yep. Exactly. So, you know, I was out there at Kidney here last year and watching the guys do their. Again, I'm not up to all these different classes and everything, but Nick Roberts works in our parts room. He races in that class too. And learning this tree thing that these guys do and jacking each other at the tree and all that kind of stuff. Holy smokes from that part. So I got to get more into the drag racing, but I spend so much time here that I spend so much time at the dirt tracks and all that kind of stuff too. But looking forward to doing this Mustang build and stuff and looking forward to maybe growing a better relationship with you.
Hey.
The Coopers are, you know, we need to do more with those guys too. They're a local team here. We've had them out here for open house. And next year we have our race open house. We need your funny car here, buddy.
I think we can make it happen.
You know what I mean? And if we do another burnout out in front of the store, which I'm going to be pushing on that pretty hard, and we have to have a little orange Mustang running around out here too.
And borrow the keys. We need to borrow the keys. Get the keys.
Well, the good thing, there's no keys.
Well, there we go.
Hey, here we go.
Look over there. That's shiny.
Well, and you know what, guys? This hour's already blown by. That's what happened. It goes fast.
It flies.
Sometimes, Justin, I think we need to have 2 hours of this show. But it's kind of nice now that we're not just dialed into that hour we had on the radio. We can do whatever we kind of want with this thing, and now we're going out to the podcast world and everything else. So anyway, lots of listeners today. And I shouldn't say listeners. I got to say watchers today.
Yeah.
So everybody, hey, everybody, thanks for watching. Thanks for all the great comments. Kyle, especially, thanks for taking this hour to come hang out with us and talk about your exciting race down there in Texas. Again, congratulations, and headed to St. Louis here in a couple weeks, you think?
I think so. We're going to go do an NHRA quarter mile deal and kind of see how the changes we made over the winter equate to quarter mile racing. You know, we've seen that the eighth mile racing, it's done good. Now we'll see what we can do on the back half and really hopefully let her eat and hopefully run in the 540s. You know, that'd be a good number for us. So.
Be fun. Yeah. It'll be fun. So anyway, again, Kyle, thank you for this day. Thanks for hanging out with us and everything else. And do we have another caller?
Yeah, we do. We got another caller.
Let's
here.
Get Let's, it. So bless you. We can take it. We'll get another caller here and see what we got here real quick. And
we'll get him patched through here and see what he's got to say. No keys, really.
Yeah, no keys. No keys coming through there, Josh.
Yeah, I think so.
Anyway, while we're waiting here, we never did thank our sponsor show, which is Big Corner Creative, for all your advertising needs. While we're waiting on the next caller to come through here for it. Got him on,
yep, Josh? We got Cole on the line. Cole, you're on live with Under the Hood. Go ahead.
Okay, when is your next race?
My next race is in St. Louis at the end of April. I think it's like the 23rd through the 26th.
It's me, Colt.
I know. How's it going, buddy? It's my nephew.
Oh, very good.
My nephew's a diehard drag racer. There you go. So.
How many sponsors do you have on your car?
I have a few sponsors. Since you speak of that, I guess I'll go ahead and throw a line for them right now.
Let's get them out there.
We should have done that earlier too, Kyle.
No, that's all right.
About who your sponsors are and who you got on the car and all that.
No, that's all right. NGK Spark Plugs, you know, the best in the business. You know,
and guess what? Run those too.
They've been doing those a long time. They're a big supporter of our program. Molly Aftermarket, they provide us with Clevite bearings.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yep. So again, one of the best products. If you guys need bearings, Clevite's your bearing manufacturer.
Yep.
We have a B&J transmission They're a big supporter. Quick Drive, they're our drive unit. Neil Trance Racing Converters just down the road in Sheeny, Kansas. If you guys need a converter, call Marty and his team. They'll get you fixed up.
Good.
Doesn't matter the application. GR or MGP rods, Gibtech pistons, Champion Auto Lifts. So Keith Goolsby, a local guy, born and raised, he started a company, Champion Auto Lifts. If you guys need a lift, they do paint booths and they have tire machines. A big supporter of our program.
Goolsby's, they were racing out here when it was Wichita Dash Drag when I was out there.
Yeah, yes. Another great family of drag racing in the Wichita community. Yep. Keith will get you set up with a lift for whatever you need, whatever weight capacity. So he's done good for us.
Fantastic.
DMP Awnings, I'll throw a last one in for them. If you guys need an awning for your trailer, DMP Awnings, Minnesota. Dean's a top alcohol dragster racer. You know, we become friends with him over, and honestly, the awning we put on the trailer last year has truly been a lifesaver for weekend of racing. It provides us some shade and just getting us out from underneath the sun. So
makes all the difference in the world.
It does. It really does. So if you guys need an awning, check out DMP Awning. So
awesome.
So
fantastic. Okay. All right. Well, Cole, thanks for the call, buddy.
Hey, thank you.
You betcha.
You're welcome. All right.
Have a good day.
One last question on Facebook is, Kyle, what's your racing history? What's the first car you raced, and what's your progression from that, from where you are today?
So the first car I ever took down the drag strip was a buddy of my dad's. It was a Pontiac Le Mans wagon. Just a beautiful car, and gosh, I think we went like 13 or 12s in it back in high school, and that was the first one I went down the drag strip in. And then I think a couple years later, when I was a senior in high school, my dad at the time had a 41 Willys Pro Mod.
Oh yeah.
So my graduation present was we took it to Great Bend, and I got to make a couple squirts in it.
Yeah.
So that was kind of where it really got my adrenaline going to say, hey, I think I want to drive these things long term. So, yeah. And then after that, I made a few passes in a friend of ours' front engine altered. You know, it was about a 9-second altered deal.
I always wanted to drive one of those too.
It was a wild ride. There's a short wheelbase, and there's not a lot of downforce. So they're pretty sketchy, but I enjoy that aspect. And then I made a few passes in our Pro Mod. It was like a 2007 Corvette. And then since then, I've been in the funny car. So
very cool. Very cool. Everybody, thanks for the great questions. Thanks again to Kyle hanging out with us for this hour and a little longer than that too. But again, congratulations on your win. Hope you kicked their butts up in St. Louis too.
I appreciate it. Yeah, that's the plan. We're hopefully going to surprise some people this year and put this orange Mustang in the winner's circle some more.
Sounds great, buddy. And again, thanks again, Kyle. Thanks everybody for watching. Thanks everybody for the great questions and everything else from that part. And Josh, just send her home. Everybody have a great weekend. Have a great Easter weekend. And we'll talk to you next Saturday.